the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, with us for our weekly money spot. And it was something Ben mentioned on the 5 of 5 yesterday, but you can give us more details of this Red Sea survey for KPMG about people's attitudes to paying more for a green energy future.
Yeah, I think people recognise, Matt, that we desperately need to do a lot to ensure that there is a green energy future. We need to transition to renewable energy. We need to do these things. Look at the crazy weather we had today. It was bright, bright sunshine, then gusts of 74 kilometres an hour in Dublin, followed by rain. I mean, it's all over the place. You know, we know we've had an awful lot of storms. We know there's a problem, but people feel they don't want to pay any more, particularly energy. We have some of the highest energy prices in Europe. And 57% of people in this survey, Matt, is a survey of 1,000 people commissioned by KPMG, the consultants. 57% of people said they do not want to pay more to fund this transition to renewable energy. Now, we're already paying a lot as well. You know, there's a lot of levies and environmental taxes out there. There's carbon tax on your gas and your petrol and your coal, your briquettes. There's a biofuel mix in your petrol and diesel. There's a PSO levy on your electricity.
And I suppose people want to know, what are they getting for that?
Well, what are they getting, and why does the burden fall on the small guy? I think a lot of people will say there's a lot of moralising and there's a lot of very high prices and taxes, and people say, well, hold on a minute, who's footing the bill here? How come there's no carbon tax on aviation fuel, for example? How come businesses don't seem to be, you know, sharing the burden?
Well, hold on a second.
I'm not sure that's correct, but that's the way people feel about it, Matt.
But if you put taxes on aviation fuel, that would mean that prices would increase.
Would.
And wouldn't everyone give out then that they didn't want to pay higher tickets for airfares?
They would, of course. But I mean, you know, you are polluting when you get into an airplane. There's no doubt about that, especially if you're going on long haul. So I think it's how it's shared up. It's the message as well. The message seems to be too moralising. It's too hectoring. It's too talking, patronising. A lot of people, for example, they don't want to fund an electric vehicle, an EV. This cost is the major problem here. They are very expensive. There's a sense that wealthy people can afford an electric vehicle. They can run it cheaply by charging off their solar panels because they can afford to put in solar panels. You know, the whole approach to that was wrong. In France, they did that. They do it much differently. You know, the amount of grant you get is proportionate to your income. It reflects what not everybody getting the same grant.
Jeez, that seems fair, doesn't it?
It's far fairer. And I think, you know, if that approach had been adopted, people might have embraced it a bit more. Now, it is interesting that the cost of secondhand EVs are coming down. We had a report in The Independent yesterday showing that for the first time, the cost of second-hand EVs is now cheaper than diesels and hybrids. Not cheaper than petrol second-hand cars, but cheaper than diesel and hybrids. So,
but that doesn't suggest that's because they're so unpopular.
Well, there is an element to that. You know, I mean, new EVs are big, expensive things. Also, well, can somebody please explain to me, what's the environmental benefit of having an SUV EV? One of those big, huge tanks. Because it's an EV, it's environmentally friendly. It's not. It's costs an awful lot of money to build it. It's very heavy. I just don't see the environmental gains there. So there's a lot of cynicism about this. Also, you know, the cost is an issue around people putting in solar panels, you know, and the grants.
And the grants have been reduced.
They are.
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, they're going down about €300 a year until 2029. It's capped at about 1,800 at the moment, and that's something we're trying to encourage, and we have to encourage, where people can run their homes more efficiently and that they're not putting on the heating and a lot of it's leaking out the windows or whatever, or through the roof. That's very important. So the cost of upgrading is a major issue for people as well, upgrading to energy efficiency in the home. 35% of respondents said that was the single biggest hurdle for them. Also, there's a lot of cynicism around wind farms. We were promised that this would bring down the cost of electricity. And it did it. You know, I'm not so sure that it did. We have very expensive electricity in this country, and we're having to pay more for this energy transition because our network charges, for example, are up €100 this year. Much of that is to fund the infrastructure that's needed to run cables out to wind farms offshore and up on wind farms on hills. So Yes, we need energy transition, but who pays for it? And we need to sell it far better as a nation. To, you know, the government needs to sell it to us in a way where people are just turned off it, basically.
Okay, well then, you see, also there is the link. Climate change is linked to the weather that we've been getting. And recently, Storm Éowyn caused hundreds of millions of euro worth of damage, on which insurance claims will be made. But here's an interesting angle you've dug out for us. And I wonder how often this applies. But a lot of people are just not going to make a claim unless it's for a sizable amount of money. Yes. If it's a small enough claim, they'll decide, sure, what's the point in going through all the hassle, the paperwork, and finding that you end up having to pay it back and increase premiums anyway.
Exactly, man. Now, this has always been, long time, been the problem with your car insurance. If you have a small accident, you prang the car, you make a claim, they end up getting it back off you in higher premiums. Sometimes they put a penalty on your insurance. It's now happening with home insurance, and it's particularly come into focus, I suppose, since you're right, Storm Éowyn. I was talking to a claims assessor, Edmund Walsh. He's based in Wicklow. He's had loads of people on to him saying, look, I've had some tiles come off the roof. It's relatively small. It's maybe 1,500, 2,000 euros to repair it. Anything to do with the roof is expensive. That could be just a couple of tiles gone. A greenhouse could be destroyed or damage in the garden maybe. But his advice is, look, unless it's a big water damage claim, don't claim. Don't claim, because they'll get it back off you. You lose your no-claims bonus, essentially, which could be 40%. That goes in the first year, that 40% just completely wiped. Supposing you're paying 1,000 euros for your insurance, that means the following year you're going to have to pay an extra 400 euros. In year two, it comes down again. You get a bit of a bonus back, about 20%, but you're still paying an extra 200 euros in year two, 100 euros extra in year three, and so on. And also, there's an excess on most policies. An excess is the amount you have to cover yourself if you're making a claim. It's generally around 250 euros. So they get it back. Now, people are really cynical about this. So what use is insurance? I asked this to Insurance Ireland, the lobby group. What the hell's going on here? Why would people bother with insurance? And their answer was, look, it's up to each company to set the no claims bonus and how they handle that, and you know, your excess, that's a matter for each company. So there was didn't answer on behalf of the industry, really. Said each company decides on that. But you know, unless it's a big piece of damage, in other words, your house insurance is pretty useless.
Okay. Out of people's pay packets, they pay PAYE, they pay USC, and they pay PRSI. And we talk about the marginal rate of tax when 52% or whatever, when you add all those up for higher earners. And then at times, if you complain about the level of PRSI, you're told by politicians, oh, it's not a tax at all. It's an insurance fund that you get the money back essentially when you become a pensioner. But tell us about the possibility that this non-tax tax will become even higher over the coming years.
That's right, Matt. I mean, it's essentially, it's not a tax. You're absolutely right. I mean, in strict sense, it goes into what's called a social insurance fund, but it comes off in the wage packet. It shows you the deductions.
It comes off with your tax.
It comes off with
so
your tax.
So it's a non-tax
it's
tax.
It's followed after the income tax hit, followed by the USC and then PRSI. It's all listed one after the other. So people just regard it as a tax, but it's essentially a fund. You pay into this fund and you draw it out if you lose your job. If you're a pensioner, it funds maternity benefits. All of these things are funded out of it. Huge number of different benefits there. About 24 different benefits you can get. It'll cover a checkup in a dentist, for example. You know, but the problem is, Matt, we've added a lot of new benefits in the last while, particularly for the self-employed. There's an enhanced pension for carers. There's a new unemployment benefit. It's basically based around what you were earning when you left your job. Instead of everybody just getting the same amount, if you were slightly higher paid, you get a bit more. And then you have pension auto-enrollment coming up. That's going to have to be paid for. The self-employed have got extra benefits as well, and they're due to get more. And all of this has to come out of the same fund. But the big, big problem is more pensioners coming into the system all the time. We're aging. We're still a young population, but we're aging. We're aging and we're aging fast. We're still one of the younger countries' populations in Europe. But look, by 2050, we could have 2 million people over the age of 65. 2 million people. That's not an unreasonable prediction. And the fund will run out. We did. We are paying a little bit more from this year, Matt. They went up a little bit. So the Department of Social Protection, which is headed up now by Minister Dara Cleary, he's been given a briefing note saying PRSI is going to have to increase if we want to keep the pension age at 66.
God, we've no good news this week.
No, I'm sorry,
Charlie,
we don't.
Just very quickly, very briefly, what's an exchange-traded fund?
Well, it could be good news here, Matt. This is a nice way to invest a bit of money rather than sticking it in the bank and getting not much from the bank in terms of savings interest. These things are very popular outside Ireland, and they're a way, they're a pooled investment, you know, and you can buy into a stock exchange index. They tend to be perform very well, but they're heavily taxed here. There's a move to reduce the tax on them. There's a couple of different taxes on them. There's a
There should be tax breaks, like it's a capital gain, if you were selling an asset, rather than being taxed as income, as if it was...
Yeah, it's taxed at 41% at the moment if you get any gain. The exit tax, instead of 33%, there's a deemed disposal tax. Every 8 years you have to pay a tax based on a prospective gain you might have made. There's other little taxes, there's a levy, etc. So there is a move maybe to reduce the taxes on those, could make them far more attractive.
Thank you, Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.